In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Word of God for our devotion this morning is our second lesson for today. Recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, we read in the fourth chapter, verses 1 to 5, and then 13 to 17. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. And then at verse 13, it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead, and calls things that are not as though they were. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear friends, one of the very first things that the captain of a ship does before he casts off is chart his course. It gives him the direction that he needs to go to his port of call. Then, other captains can take a look at the course that he plotted, whether that was with a pencil and a straight edge or a computer, and he and she or she can follow that course that the captain laid out. The Bible in many places mentions the course others have laid out for us to follow to heaven. We begin with Jesus. Our Savior said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. The writer to the Hebrews penned in chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, mentions that course to heaven in the example of Abraham. God has in many places in the Old and New Testament set down Abraham's story, especially God's giving promises to Abraham that all center around the promise of the coming Savior, the Savior of the entire world. And so this morning we look on that chart table of God's Word as Abraham's faith charts the way for believers. We see, first of all, that God made a wonderful promise, and Abraham believed him. And secondly, that by sharing Abraham's faith, we too are God's heirs. Abraham was, Paul writes, the forefather according to the flesh of him, of Paul, and all the Jewish believers in Rome. However, that forefather made a discovery about another forefather-heir relationship, one that does not take place through blood or through human ancestry, but takes place through promises given and promises believed, both by the forefather and by those who came after him. That relationship that Abraham discovered comes about through faith, a faith that shares the promise of God's Savior who was to come, who would deliver the world from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Abraham discovered that God declaring you and me and the whole world not guilty of sin is by his holy decree. And the blessings of that decree become our own possession by the gift of Spirit-worked faith. By the virtue of the innocent life and holy suffering and death of Jesus Christ, God has declared all sinners not guilty. Through the spreading of that word and the sharing of that word, the Holy Spirit works the benefits, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in the hearts of those he makes believers who now share and enjoy and use that blessing of faith. That's what Abraham believed. And God credited his faith to him as righteousness. That relationship that Abraham discovered is not by the law. It's not by works. But it's by sharing that faith in God's promise. It's not by law. It's by grace. God made many promises to Abraham. But all of those promises really went around the promise of the coming Messiah, much as our solar system or our planets go around the sun. And that promise was that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God made that wonderful promise of the world's Savior. And quoting Genesis 15, verse 6, Paul wrote, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. And that Hebrew word for credited doesn't mean that I have to give you something because you've earned it. Or I have to credit something to your account because you made some kind of payment and I have to do it. It really has the idea of reckoning, of deciding something, of willing something in yourself. It was God's will. It was God's decision. It was God's plan of salvation in Christ to credit, to give to us, Christ's holiness and Christ's sacrifice on the cross so that it would be our very own, so that it would save us. God reckoned that righteousness of Abraham because through it, our spiritual ancestor held in his heart the Savior of the world. Obviously, that Savior had not been born yet. Abraham would not know that it would be Jesus of Nazareth. Abraham would never see with his eyes that seed of his, that offspring of his, in whom all nations would be blessed. But he saw it in his heart. He held it in his heart because God promised it. And he believed it because God promised it. And as far as Abraham was concerned, it had already taken place. And Abraham already had the blessings of it. Abraham's faith and our faith in Christ is the same. Abraham's faith charts the way of salvation for us believers. He was saved through faith. And he has left that chart for us. And so Abraham is our forefather. And we are his heirs. Faith was the way that God charted salvation for Abraham. Now make no mistake. Abraham was a good man. Abraham was a righteous and generous man. When people looked at Abraham, they would have reckoned him or credited to him as being one who strove to live his life according to the law of God, even though it had not yet been codified in the Mosaic law. But Abraham obeyed God. But Paul writes, if Abraham's works made him righteous, or if people considered him righteous, then he had something to boast about, but not before God. He maybe could have boasted about his obedience to men, but he never could have boasted about it to God because it wasn't perfect. And nor can we. And that's why salvation is not by works, because our obedience is not perfect. When a man works, when you work, your employer has an obligation to pay you. He's not doing it out of the goodness of his heart. He's not doing it, or she's not doing it, because they're generous. They're doing it because it's an obligation. If God paid us what he owes us, if we were trying to be saved by the obligation of our works, then we would spend eternity in hell. The obligation that our imperfect works earn for us is eternal separation from God and punishment in hell because they are imperfect. Abraham knew that salvation was through faith and not by works. Our works are a miserable failure. And so we are not saved by what we do. But like Abraham, we are saved by that way that God charted out for him and charts out for us, that way of faith. And faith saves us not because it's a good work, but because it holds on to the righteousness and sacrifice of Christ. God credits it to us as righteousness, not for our believing, but for the holy saving object of our faith. And that faith we share with Abraham is what makes Abraham our forefather and we his heirs. Both Semitic and Arabic races claim Abraham as their father. And he is by blood. But with some exceptions, neither one of those nationalities generally believe in the triune God, nor believe that Jesus is the Savior from sin. Paul makes it clear that the true children of Abraham are not those who share his blood, are not those who are trying to be saved by works, whether that's under the Mosaic law or under the Quran or under some other set of human works that man has chosen to try to obey. We who share faith in the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ, we who have that faith that we share with Father Abraham are his heirs and true children. God made Abraham the father of many nations. Paul again quoting from Genesis. From all nations, the gospel of Jesus Christ calls people to faith. And those believers are the children of Abraham. God has blessed many nations in Abraham as that seed, as that offspring came from Abraham and died and lived for the world. The Holy Spirit calls sinners out of unbelief into faith from every nation. Paul describes the children of Abraham as coming from those of the law, that is, those believers who came from Israel. He describes those believers as coming from those who are of the faith of Abraham, but not his blood. Those were the Gentiles. There is no race. There is no nationality. There is no right visible church. There is no visible connection that makes a person a child of Abraham. It is sharing his faith in Jesus. Paul puts it this way. Abraham is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. The promise of Christ's righteousness through faith is what has taken us from death to life. Think of that vision that Ezekiel had of the valley of the dry bones. That vision is not about the resurrection of the dead when Christ returns. That vision is about God putting the flesh of faith on the dead bones of unbelief and bringing them to life. Think of the life that God gave to Abraham and to Sarah so that Isaac would be born. The birth of Isaac is a miracle. Not in the same way that the birth of Jesus is a miracle, but it's still a miracle. As God gave that gift of life to Abraham and Sarah to have a child in their old age. Think of the new life God has given you, who were dead in your trespasses and sins. That you would now be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You and I were dead and blind and God's enemies, and now we belong to God. Because of my wife's own personal experience, I often think of baptism or of adoption when I hear these words. Because in adoption, parents call children who are not their children by birth, my children. And children who we did not conceive and give birth to call their parents my parents. Adoption lets people be called things as if they were that they are not by nature. And that's the condition that you and I are in as we are the children of Abraham, as we are the children of God. God calls us things that we are, the children of God, that we are not by nature and by birth. We call God our Father. He is our Father now, but not by nature. God is the Father of us all, of all believers, as we follow Abraham. God has guaranteed us, Abraham's offspring, the promise of salvation in Christ. A salvation that does not come by the obligation of works, but comes rather as a gift of his grace through faith. God charted that course for Abraham. Abraham has charted that course that he followed and is now in heaven. And now there he waits with arms open for us as we follow that course of salvation that He has charted out for us that will take us safely into the port of God's call. Amen.